Today's world is full of paid professionals telling us how to be better parents. But how's it been working for us? Have we complicated even more the already complicated phenomenon we call parenting? You know, sometimes there's no better teacher than a wise layperson who's been there and done that. And today we'll be talking to some real live parents from a different generation and get their take on what it takes to do this thing called parenting. So stay tuned. You're listening to Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry. And Trace, we do have some guests with us today, and I'm going to hand it over to you and let you start introducing those who are with us.
All right. Well, we have Tim and Donna Smeltzer, and they are with an organization called RVIX, and they are gracing our campus here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, doing various building projects, painting projects, repairs and new construction. And RVIX, I'm going to let Donna and Tim explain exactly what RVIX does and how that ministry operates.
RVIX is Roving Volunteers in Christ Service.
It's an acronym, RVICS.
Right, RVICS. Each of us has an RV of some type. We are retired, self-supporting missionaries that travel all around the country and parts of Canada, volunteering at Christian schools, churches, camps, different Christian nonprofit organizations.
Well, I'll tell you what, RVIX has been a blessing down through the years at Shepherd's Hill Academy. They pretty much built Shepherd's Hill Academy, and we really appreciate what you guys do. I assume that that you have you have children of your own.
Yes, we do. We have two grown sons.
Okay. And are any of you childcare professionals or mental health pros?
I'm a school teacher.
That qualifies.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, that does qualify. But let me ask you something. Why would I have people from RVIX on the Licensed to Parent broadcast?
Because we're parents.
Because you're parents,
we've
exactly.
We've been through the whole kit and caboodle, as they say, and our kids turned out all right.
Good. Now, what year were you raising your kids up?
In the 60s.
Yeah, our oldest son was born in 1968 and the other one in 71.
Okay. All right. I am always so impressed, and so are the kids at Shepherd's Hill, with you guys and your work ethic. And a lot of the RVIX we've had in the past have been anywhere from their late 50s to late 70s, sometimes early 80s. And they can work our kids under the table, and much more efficiently, quicker. And our kids, you know, our 16, 17-year-olds are scratching their head thinking, how's this getting done? So where does this work ethic come from that you guys do?
Well, to make a long story short, we were trained when we were younger that if you wanted to get your allowance or you wanted to do something after school or whatever, that you had to do the things that were assigned to you. And we had to work for what we got. Nothing was handed to us.
How do you see that as far as with respect to kids today and their parents? Do you think that same work ethic is being taught to them today? Do you see that from your perspective?
In most instances, I would say no. It seems like there's a lot of allowing the TV to be a babysitter or the video games to be a babysitter because mom and dad would rather just quickly do things themselves. And it just seems like there isn't the training. I always had in my mind when I was raising my children that I was training them to be successful adults. And I think it's just a busy world today, and we're just trying to get everything done as quickly as we can and most efficiently.
So we're not really enjoying the journey as much or really understanding the journey as much as we're bottom line and maybe too busy, too tired to really do the things that need to be done. Is that what you, would you say that's
well,
true?
Yes, and I would say we're not understanding what our children really need, that the training is what to me gives them a sense of satisfaction. Sometimes I think it's abusive to give our children everything they want and everything they need or think they need because they don't have any opportunity to wait for it, to work for it, to be a part of making the home run and know that they are really contributing to this home and how it operates.
And Donna, you said something a moment ago that touches on something Trace and I have discussed in the past, and that is you were talking about we're raising adults. And that's something that I think so many of us as parents overlook. We think we're raising kids, but you're talking about stewarding the responsibility, handing it off to your children as you raise them and empower them to become adults. We're not just raising grown-up children, right?
Right, and we're not trying to be their buddy and have that kind of relationship. Like, we have good relationships with our grown children, but we were their parent, and we wanted to raise them to be adults and be parents.
Do you think that that's part of the delayed gratification that as parents we need to wait for, understanding that the friendship and the buddy part actually will develop over the course of time, but it may not be until they are adults themselves before we really develop that type of relationship?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
So why do you think young parents today really almost seem to need that buddy relationship now and may be forfeiting a long-term relationship? What can you say to the parents listening today that might help them understand that, you know what, there may be a season, as I'm sure you went through seasons, as did I, where I wasn't my kid's best friend growing up. But now, you know, we've got a relationship for a lifetime. Can you speak to that?
I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed is that parents nowadays said, I'm not going to treat my child the way they perceived they were treated as children when they were growing up, that they had to do all this stuff, and I was never happy with... Well, if you stop to ask them, well, what were the bad things? They can't really come out with, you know, a bunch of stuff that was bad. Mm-hmm. But I just know that I wasn't happy.
Right.
Well, your child is not there to be happy, so to speak. I mean, they have to learn things.
And that's a hard word for a lot of people out there listening to to accept.
Yeah, because happy is not the big thing.
No, you're exactly right. I want to remind our listeners, these aren't PhDs in child development, okay?
Yeah.
And I say on our radio program quite often, God never designed that we be PhDs in child development. Parenting really should be a very almost simple task. I mean, certainly in the earlier years, my dad used to say, parenting's real simple. See size of parent, see size of child, class dismissed.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that was his philosophy. Yeah. I'm not saying it was the right philosophy, but what should these parents be doing? What could they be doing differently? You know, maybe they've started in the wrong direction. Maybe they've tried to cultivate a buddy-buddy relationship with their parents or with their children. What can they do to kind of shift gears to make that change without causing violence in the home?
Well, I think a lot of times that trust and depend upon organized things. I mean, go to play practice, go to judo practice, go to ballet, go to band, go to Boy Scouts, go to this, go to that. That's where their mores and their ethic is formed in these places. And if they go to the wrong place, they're in big trouble. We tried, we weren't the greatest in this, but we tried to use biblical foundation of all the things we did and not hang the Bible over to their head, but to give them the principles about what God says in his word,
right?
What the children should do. And when they are old, they will not depart from it.
Well, I think the advantage that your generation had, and I think even my generation as a parent, I'm just maybe 10 years younger than you are, but the culture, for the most part, as when I was raising my kids, and certainly when you were raising yours, backed up your biblical worldview, even if they weren't Christians. Today's parents have a marked disadvantage where today's teachers and news people and policemen and neighbors, these are people who should be authority figures in our kids' lives, but they're backing up very often the kids' worldview, their carnal desires. I get parents all the time telling me, you know, it's hard enough to manage my kids' friends, but when I find out that their parents are buying them the beer and smoking pot in front of them, you know, that's really discouraging. And now you've got so many teachers who are you know, molesting their kids in school and seducing them and these views on homosexuality and the indoctrination that's going on in our public schools. These are authority... These coaches and teachers and whatnot, and in some cases, pastors and youth pastors are promoting an ethic, a worldview that deep in the souls of our kids, they know there's something wrong with that. And that drives them to Facebook and to surf the net to find some semblance of sanity. And all they're finding is other people who are agreeing with their own carnal desires. And any warped, fleeting idea they may have in their mind, they'll find someone on the other side of the planet to agree with them and justify what they're thinking. And then when Oprah comes on TV and says this or that or the other is okay, it's got to be okay. Mom and dad have to be the nutcases,
yeah.
Especially if you're following scripture. So what counsel would you have for a parent who might think that, you know, I'm against, the whole world's against me here, including my children. You know, your kids are adult age now. You know, they may have to be facing this with their kids as they grow older. What counsel would you give them?
I think that it's important to start from the time our children are small to have the training thing in mind that I mentioned earlier, but also that we think they have enough intelligence and inner strength to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And we tell them to do the right thing, and we have to follow through on that and not say, oh, please, please, if you do this, I will increase your allowance or buy you a new doll. Or we often see that in the store.
You don't negotiate.
Well, right. Not with a hassle going on between parent and child. I agree with your father. Look at the parent size, look at child size. And I can't make my two-year-old do so-and-so. Well, start when they're two or even younger. If they don't do what you say, then you gently take their hand and go help them do what you said. And as they're growing up, they're developing the sense of knowing that doing the right thing is a good feeling, not only the right thing to do. And hopefully when they get in those situations where everyone around them starts doing what they know they should not be doing, they will make the choice to leave or to do the right thing.
Well, the key is the right thing. And I think in today's postmodern relativistic world, the right thing is, in the eyes of a lot of our young people, what they feel the right thing is, as opposed to an absolute truth. And that's why coming back to scripture, having that objective point of reference, is so important for parents today. And of course, the License to Parent broadcast is a program that tries to bring parents back to the biblical worldview so that they know what the right thing actually is. And that is so important. And I think that's one of the advantages that your generation had, that today's generation, they're considered intolerant if they claim to have a perspective that comes from an absolute standard. You know, Mr. Jones's situation over here is just as valid as mine. Smoking pot with my kid, well, you know, that's just what, it's legal in Colorado now, that's just what we do. But there's a law that transcends our governmental law, isn't there? And those are the things that bring security and peace and significance to the kids of any generation, for that matter. But I think there's a naivety that goes on with a lot of parents. I don't think they realize all that their kids are involved in or have been involved in. I know the world's changing. There's a lot more things that, you know, our kids are being corrupted by today. But fundamentally, in general, would you say there's a different attitude in our approach to parenting in 2013 than there was when you were raising your kids?
Yes, I think so. I think the whole attitude of parenting starts with the value of life. It's not an important thing. It's not something to celebrate. It's something that you really don't want another life hanging around, hogging up your space or doing something, you know? I mean, it's just totally self-centered and egotistic, our society. And if it doesn't feel good for me at the time, then it must not be a cool thing. And that's where everything starts, right at the basics.
I think you're right. I think fundamentally you have to value life. And since 1973, we've not valued about 50 million of them. And, you know, there's fallout from that. I mean, you think about this. How many of those 50 million would be in the workforce today? You know, I'm looking at this from the mechanical perspective. Forget the spiritual for a moment. We know how God thinks about this stuff. But economically, look at all the houses that would be built, the jobs that would be created.
And by the way, just to fill in for any younger parents who might be listening, you're, of course, referring to 1973 when Roe versus Wade was passed. And this is the number of people who've been lost to abortion.
That's exactly right. You see, when you start messing with God's ecosystem, you start messing with things that have repercussions way down the line that we aren't intelligent enough to figure out. And that's why God honors faith, because without faith, you can't please God. And, you know, we put our faith in Scripture. And, of course, we get looked at cockeyed for doing that by the so-called intelligentsia. But you know what? I know where my kids are at night. And, you know, I'm pleased with how my kids have turned out and are turning out. And some of these guys, yeah, I'm not all of them, of course, but, you know, they can't say that. And I think a lot of it has to do with we do take things back to the fundamentals. We do understand that there are absolute standards of moral right and wrong that we adhere to. And that gives us and our kids and an entire society a sense of security and a semblance of sanity. And our founding fathers understood that. And we're living off of the blessings of those men who understood those things. And now we're taking the very freedoms that they fought and died to preserve and abusing ourselves and everyone else around us.
We're talking today with parenting experts, Tim and Donna Smeltzer. Experts because they've raised two boys who are now grown men in their 40s, and they've done so successfully using Christian principles. Real people sharing real parenting success stories here on Licensed to Parent. The Smeltzers were introduced to us, by the way, through a ministry called RVIX. That's Roving Volunteers in Christ's Service. And we'll give you a little more information about that organization in just a moment. Plus, how to maintain structure and discipline within the context of being a loving parent. This is Licensed to Parent. Hi, I'm Rich Rozzle, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at LicensedToParent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to LicensedToParent.org and click Donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
And welcome back to Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry. Trace is the executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy in Martin, Georgia, a Christ-centered residential program for troubled teens. And our guests today, Tim and Donna Smeltzer. And I did want to mention again that the Smeltzers are also involved with an organization called RVICS, that's R-V-I-C-S, Roving Volunteers in Christ's Service. And they travel the country giving of their time to help evangelical organizations like Shepherd's Hill. In fact, RVICS provided us the construction labor needed for several upgrades here, and you can learn more at rvics.com. But back to the program, Trace. The Smeltzers have been sharing some of their parenting successes, which we hope will show younger parents, you can do this, and here's how.
Yeah, and I think it's fascinating, some of the answers I'm getting back from people who aren't PhD'd in child psychology. And I love hearing these answers because this is what young Christian parents need to hear. They need to know that, wow, I don't have to remember the 10 steps of this, or the 15 principles of that, or this. How about this? Learn the 10 commandments. Get that one sorted out and everything else should fall into place.
I was about to say the Pharisees would indicate, you know, at least the experience we had with the Pharisees would say the fewer rules, the better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Donna, I wanted to ask you a question because I think you alluded to this a little bit earlier, too, in the way that we relate to our children and nurture them. We talk on this program quite a bit about some of the structural things that we've moved away from, the rules that we no longer follow, the discipline that we no longer enforce. Could you possibly touch on the nurturing side, though, or the loving side about how you can be a strict Bible-believing parent and still do it in love with your kids? I'm putting you on the spot, but...
yes, it's important that you hold the line that you have your children do what you've told them to do, but you do it in a loving way. And I quoted earlier a book that I liked to follow when my kids were small. If they don't do what you say, on my better days, I didn't scream and holler and all that. You just take their hand and help them do it. And they don't like that. So after a few times, they're going to go ahead and do it because they know they're going to have to do it one way or the other. But if there is an incident, there has to be spanking, there has to be punishment, there still has to be coming back and letting them know, I had to do that because you violated the rules or you didn't do what I said, but I love you. And those pointing them also to we're wanting to obey God's word, and God is the ultimate authority, and that's what you're learning to do as you grow up. So all of those things need to be a part of it.
Kids understand that. I mean, they really do. They're very resilient. And, you mentioned something, a spanking. That's almost a nasty word with a lot of parents today. But if people understood the deep spiritual transaction that takes place in when it's done appropriately according to God's word, holy smokes, there's a lot of healing that goes on there. Well, listen, you guys are people that give. I mean, you give back. You travel the country in your motorhomes. You're retired from your professions, and you're giving back. Giving back seems to be a lost dynamic. And in the break, we were talking about the fact that you're not finding enough people to fill in the gaps at RVIX, people who are willing to spend their remaining days, weeks, months, years on this earth giving back. What can we do as parents to regain that mindset? Because it's all about me today. People are, again, it goes back to postmodern worldview, but it's all about me. How can we teach our kids to be givers and maybe future RVIX?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the parents have to be givers first and model that activity. So if there's something, we'll come to church this week, it's clean the church week. And and the parents say, oh, here, you kids, go off and do that. And they might do it and they might not. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But if the parent takes them there and everybody's working the same, time and place, I think that's a good experience for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And long ago, I was in the bus ministry. Remember those things where buses went around and picked up all the kids whose parents didn't go to church or whatever? Anyway, and I tried to involve my kids in that, take them over and help them work on the buses. And
they saw you giving.
Yeah, and it was an enjoyable time. They didn't like particularly riding the bus because they were all cold and nasty in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something that they could see and get their hands on.
So is there a link to from work ethic to giving to spirituality? I mean, when I see you guys roll up to our place and our kids watch you, I see you work, I'm thinking there's something godly about that. You know, maybe it's not preaching from a pulpit or, whatever, but I think back to the movie Chariots of Fire, and Eric Little was supposed to be a missionary in China, and his sister kind of ragged him, hey, you're supposed to be a missionary. We didn't mess around with this 100-yard dash or whatever he ran. And he said, sister, he says, I am made for China, but I'm also fast, and when I run, I feel God's pleasure, And I feel God's pleasure watching you guys work, and I think our kids do too. What can we do for parents who might have missed the boat? We explain it with our kids, model that, but now we've got parents in their 30s and 40s who aren't modeling it in this generation. And I know we got some listeners in their 30s and 40s. I don't mean to rag on you individually, but as a generation, I think we missed that. And how can we get parents to see the importance in that and then pass that along to their children?
We pray for our children to have a heart to build God's kingdom and not their own. And I think a big problem today is materialism, and it needs to be dealt with because it's like Tim said, me, me, me. I want to gather more and more in things to myself. And one thing we can do is, okay, it's just been birthday or Christmas. We've gotten lots of new toys. Let's look for some good toys that we're not playing with anymore, and let's take them down to the shelter, or let's take them to the city mission, or let's even go once a month and help put the meals on at the city mission. Let's start instilling in our children the idea that we're not just doing everything to entertain ourselves, just empty entertainment all the time, but we are actually doing things, thinking of other people less fortunate than ourselves and helping them.
Well, when you talk about it's fun to do.
It is fun. Well, fun is entertainment. I was just going to say, what is the goal of entertainment? It's to find some sense of satisfaction, isn't it? It's to find something that we don't currently have. And I think if we transfer that from entertainment to some of these acts of giving, I think our young people and our adults alike will find the very thing that we call chasing the genie, you know, trying to find. But now listen, we only have about 30 seconds left here. You had a chance to speak to parents of teenagers today. Talk to parents listening and tell them what you want to tell them, knowing you only have about 30 seconds. What do you want to tell the parents of the world today?
Be godly parents. Pass that on to your kids. Make them see the need for a spiritual focus, and then things will fall into line.
I couldn't have said it better.
Take your children to church. Take them to Awana, where the scripture is being planted in their minds.
I think parents see that as unrelated. I don't think they connect the dots. And like what Tim just said is, these things will fall in place. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of the kids and families we serve at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
Our guests have been Tim and Donna Smeltzer, seasoned parents who were gracious enough to share their parenting experiences with us for the benefit of younger parents in our audience. If you're a seasoned parenting veteran yourself, we'd love to hear your story of getting through the good times and the hard times. Please email a brief version of it to radio@licensedtoparent.org. Be sure to include your phone number, and if we can use your story on an upcoming program, we'll get back to you. Email radio@licensedtoparent.org or click on the contact link on our website, licensedtoparent.org. And speaking of our website, let me also mention that you can find archives of our past radio programs, as well as our blog featuring lots of great articles that can help you become the parent your child needs. That address again, licensedtoparent.org. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rossell, inviting you back again next time when we'll feature two more real parents sharing their success stories from the trenches on the next Licensed to Parent.
And remember, moms and dads, as always, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.